Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Justin Beasley from News 4 taking you through this beautiful Friday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee. It's been a rough week for the Vols on the basketball court, on the hardwood. And to help us talk a little bit more about that, we bring in our good friend Josh Ward from WNML in Knoxville. Josh, what's going on, man? Thanks for joining us this morning.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So Josh, last week and heading into last weekend, Joe Rexrode and myself had a conversation about the five-game stretch that was upcoming from the Vols and how, in all actuality, they probably needed to win three of those games with at least one coming against Auburn or Kentucky. Obviously, we know the way the game went last week in Auburn, up 17 points, end up losing that game, and then just get crushed by Arkansas earlier this week. What's the reaction been like in Knoxville to the week that's been for the Tennessee Vols on the basketball court? And are their tournament chances at this point, outside of winning the SEC tournament here in Nashville, pretty much shot at this point?
Yeah, I think this week has left Tennessee fans realizing how this is probably going to play out. And I have not been very optimistic about Tennessee's tournament chances over the last few weeks. Now, I've said, hey, look, there's an opportunity there for Tennessee to go prove me wrong. I didn't see Tennessee's basketball team as one that was showing any signs of consistency to where, with the toughest stretch of the season coming up, that's when all of a sudden the Vols would turn it on and put together several wins. And it hasn't worked out that way. Now, in the second half against Auburn, when the Vols extend the lead to 17 points, I thought, hey, look at this. Let's see what happens. And then we know what happened. And then the Arkansas game, I think, showed that this team probably doesn't have much gas left in the tank. Now, it doesn't mean that Tennessee can't beat Florida this weekend or can't close out the regular season with a win against Auburn. But with the loss at Arkansas and blowing that lead against Auburn, Tennessee's just put itself, I think, in an impossible position to get to the NCAA tournament. So, yeah, I would say the only way Tennessee can get there now would be to win the SEC tournament, and that is impossible.
It very much is impossible. Josh, when you look at the NFL Combine, obviously that's a big topic of conversation here locally in Nashville. And a guy that's always been interesting to me ever since I've watched him play here locally in Nashville in high school and then, of course, going to Tennessee has been Juwan Jennings. And look, if you've watched Juwan Jennings play, you knew that the Combine numbers, especially in the 40, were probably not going to be impressive. I think he ran a 4.73 in the 40, but you turned on the game tape and you watched Juwan Jennings play in the game. And to me, it's the clear distinction of, you know, these combine numbers are great, but sometimes it's all about what you're able to do on the field. What's kind of your opinion on what pro you think Juwan Jennings could be at the NFL level?
I still think he can be a good player at the next level. We knew going in that he was not going to time out incredibly well, and that from a measurable standpoint, he was going to probably be in the bottom part of that list, especially in a year where there are so many guys who are so impressive physically at that position. I mean, just compared to his teammate, Marquez Callaway, Callaway was going to show up and post better numbers than Juwan. But if you look at how he played at Tennessee, the way he plays the game, I think his versatility and how he can be used, he is still a valuable prospect. And I would think probably more likely a mid-round target for NFL teams, and that can bring more value to them in where they can select him. And we'll still find out if that's true with where he ends up going in the NFL draft. But to me, he's a guy that you can line him up in the slot, and he's not a player that's going to go beat defenders deep down the field very often, but can be a reliable pass catcher that quarterbacks, I think, are going to appreciate the way that he works. He can block in the run game and can be a possession guy that, yeah, I don't think he's going to break as many tackles in the NFL as he did in the SEC, but I wouldn't be surprised to see a few highlight plays of him doing that in the NFL as well. And again, the way that he plays, coaches, I think, will like coaching him. There are some aspects to Juwan that have to be reeled in, and I think he knows that as well. But the reason fans loved watching him play are legitimate, and I think that will be the main reason that NFL teams will target him.
Yeah, he's a football guy, and that's exactly what he told me at the Combine on Tuesday. In an interview setting, does he not shine whenever he meets a GM or a head coach? And that his stock can only go up because he just has the IQ, and it's well documented what he did at Tennessee just to get back on the football team, meeting the expectations that Jeremy Pruitt had. I'm just thinking in an interview setting, that's going to be his bright spot, not only that compared with his game tape as well.
Yeah, I agree with that. He will have to answer questions about what happened off the field during his time at Tennessee and what happened in the Vanderbilt game. But Juwan's answers to that, I think, have been really good. This week in Indianapolis, talking about the second chance he received from Philip Fulmer and Jeremy Pruitt and how he didn't know if he was going to be playing football after his third year on campus. He was a junior, came back as a redshirt junior. And I think he has a genuine appreciation for that second opportunity. I think Juwan's a more mature guy than he was two or three years ago, which, you know, most players are, but he needed that. And I've always really liked talking to Juwan, and I've enjoyed his personality, and I think NFL teams will as well. So I think he'll be well prepared to answer questions about what's gone on over the last 5 years. And listen to him talk. You can tell how much he enjoys playing the game. You don't have to just watch him on tape. You'll see that there. But then when you hear him talk about what's gone on in his life and the chance to be a football player, and then just being around guys, it's infectious. After Tennessee lost the Georgia State game, Juwan met with the media and said that it's not a one-game fight, it's a 12-game fight. That's what he signed up for. And what he was saying, he meant. And you could tell at the time, but he still had to go back it up, and he did that. So NFL teams are going to see that, and I think they'll hear from Jeremy Pruitt that Juwan was a guy that they really liked coaching, and that'll be something that helps him at the next level too.
Yeah, anytime you hear a spokesperson for Tennessee talk about Juwan Jennings, they rave about him. Where do you see him playing in the NFL? Because he's kind of diverse in the way that he can line up on the outside. He's great at the inside, although he's a big body to be at the slot. He was a quarterback in high school, even took snaps in the Wildcat formation at Tennessee. It seems like the way the NFL is going, he can do a little bit of everything, which has to increase his draft stock there as well.
Yeah, I still think that he probably plays more inside. I mean, his physical nature, I think, will help him with, you know, what he'll face and the kind of defenders he'll go up against. I don't think he's going to be a beat defenders down the field guy. I mean, he's a guy around the red zone. You know, if it teams like to throw the ball up and on fade routes, I think he can still. Well, that's not my favorite play in the playbook. I think that's somewhere he can be effective as well. So, is he a starter? I don't know, but I wouldn't. You know, Juwan's just not the kind of guy you want to bet against. But to me, he's a slot guy. That's where Tennessee viewed him over the last year or two, with Marquez Callaway and Josh Palmer developing and being able to make plays on the outside. I think that's where Juwan probably fits in as well. And again, he is big. He's a 6'3", 215-pound guy there. But the way that he plays physical, I think he'll be able to line up against guys and make plays. And on third downs, he was effective there for Tennessee, and I think he could be effective there for NFL teams as well.
Josh Ward from WNML in Knoxville is on the line with us. And Josh, last thing for you. It's never too early to start looking ahead at next year for Tennessee's football team. With the positive way they ended last season, what's the vibe like there in Knoxville as they start to look ahead to spring ball right around the corner, and then next fall will be here before you know it?
Tennessee fans are optimistic, no doubt, and I think fans are excited about Tennessee trying to build on the six-game winning streak that they closed out 2019 with the regular season and the comeback in the bowl game. And there will be a transition. Tennessee does have to replace Juwan and Marquez Callaway, and Daniel Batuli and Daryl Taylor on defense are going to be two difficult players to replace. But a guy like Henry To'o coming back at linebacker, Quavarius Crouch is a guy that heading into his second season, I think fans will say, okay, make a big jump. You can be a big playmaker on defense. A lot of the conversation is going to come back to quarterback, just like it was a big part of the conversation this past year. It always is. But with Jarrett Garantano being projected as the starter and the new highly touted quarterback, Harrison Bailey, already being on campus, he'll go through spring and he'll at least compete for the starting job. I would right now bet on Jarrett being the starter at the beginning of the season. That's also us having the conversation at the end of February. So we'll see what happens in the spring. We'll see how things go in August, and then, of course, once they hit the field. But fans are going to expect Tennessee at least to be more competitive against teams like Oklahoma on the road and then Florida for sure when the Gators come to Knoxville, and that'll be the real test. But fans are very in on Jeremy Pruitt and the coaching staff moves that he made this offseason, the recruiting class that he put together. And then, of course, with that, expectations will rise as well.
Josh Ward from WNML in Knoxville has been our guest. Josh, thanks so much, man, for joining us as always. We really appreciate it.
You got it. Thanks a lot, guys.
It's going to be an interesting season to watch Tennessee football. And look, Juwan Jennings is a guy, like we said, Justin, you look at the 40 numbers, you look at the 4.73 time in that, and he's never really been a guy that's been a burner. He's never really had breakaway speed, but he's just tenacious with the way he plays the game. Now, how much does that matter to NFL GMs? I don't know. I mean, the measurables are important. At the end of the day, they are what they are. You need speed in the NFL to be successful. You need to be able to create some separation when you're running routes. But you also have to know that sometimes you come across a guy every now and then that most of the measurables just tell you they're not going to be all that good in the NFL, and they end up overcoming the odds and doing it anyway. And Juwan Jennings, like Josh said there, throughout his career at Tennessee and what he was able to do, what he was able to come back from, it's very difficult for me to bet against a guy like that.
Oh, absolutely. He has an incredible story for a college kid that went to Tennessee thinking he was going to have a lot different of a career. He certainly had a great season, his senior season, when he was finally healthy. But look at the measurables of the guys that were guarding him as far as cornerbacks. I bet you they have great measurables. I bet you they still wind up on the slideshows of some of his best catches.
Yeah.
You know, it didn't stop him from that Hail Mary against Georgia. He's got so much fight up in the air, and he's a football guy, IQ guy. I see a ton of guys in the Titans training camp every year that I'm like, not quite an NFL receiver. If I saw him in that same group, I'm like, yeah, this guy can be a slot, a 4 or 5, or called up. I think he's going to have not a lengthy NFL career, but I think he's certainly going to make a difference when called upon. And I'm just saying that for a mid-state guy. I mean, seriously, turn on the tape. If you're from California and never seen the guy, he's going to jump out. That's just Juwan Jennings.
When we come back, we'll get back into the Preds. Was last night something they could build on and really move towards the playoffs in a positive direction in terms of the way they're playing the game, the confidence they have in these late-game situations? We'll get into that next. If you've got thoughts on the big Preds win last night, give us a call, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll be back next on Morning Drive. Robbie Stanley alongside Justin Beasley here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. How about that for a night at the rink at Bridgestone Arena? Big win last night for the Nashville Predators, 4-3 in overtime. Granlund with the goal with a tenth of a second left in regulation to send it to overtime, and then wins it a minute and 20 seconds into the overtime frame to give the Predators 2 points on the night. Welcome back into Morning Drive. Robbie Stanley alongside Justin Beasley from News 4. And Justin, ESPN 102.5 The Game is kicking off the inaugural MLS season of the Nashville SC today at Tin Roof on DeMumbrin. We're starting the party early at 10 o'clock and going until 6. Stop by to catch a live show with Darren Donick and Chase and Jared in the GM. Every hour, we'll be giving away a pair of lower bowl tickets to Saturday's match. Happy hour starts at 2 o'clock with great food and drink specials. It's our Nashville SC inaugural MLS season kickoff party today at Tin Roof on DeMumbrin with live shows from 10 to 6. Tickets to Saturday's game and great food and drink specials. We are in. Be in with us. I know everybody's looking forward to the big game tomorrow for Nashville SC. Justin, getting back into the Predators, that was just such a dramatic win for them last night. And it got me thinking as I was walking out of the arena, okay, we've talked about turning the corner with this group all season long. And even though they've been winning games as of late, it doesn't feel like they're completely turning the corner in terms of the way they're playing and the way they're winning those games. I wonder if a dramatic victory like that can snap players really into gear, and maybe some of those players we've talked about that haven't been productive, like Johansson, like Forsberg, like Arvidsson as of late, Duchesne as well, maybe this is something that gets them going when you have an emotional high like that, and it gets you motivated and gets you moving in the right direction.
Well, a win is a win is a win is a win, but also you have to factor in how they win, and how they won last night is pretty incredible from the standpoint of belief and can they do it again. And you just look at it, the Preds, they're in the same situation a month and a half ago, and since from probably early December, you're like, you know what you're getting. Well, now it's like you can't count out the Preds, especially at home where you mentioned sometimes it's tougher to play at just because of the boos from the crowd. They expect so much, especially inside Bridgestone Arena in Smashville. Now they're delivering those results. I am of the opinion that, yes, this isn't just one win. This can propel them to be the Preds of old that can seriously make a playoff run. They got to get there first. We know that.
That's the most important step. Let's go to Nate, who has called in wanting to weigh in on the Preds. Nate, thanks for calling in to ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Hey, guys. I don't know that we'd be talking about this today if Granlund hadn't kind of fluffed the puck into the net, because if he had, shot it kind of straight, got it all, the puck probably would have been saved.
I mean, it was close. There's no question that the kind of change up to it, I think, may have thrown off David Rittich a little bit there, no question about it.
Yeah.
Thanks for the call, Nate. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
At this point, if you're the Predators, you'll take it any way you can get it. It doesn't matter. Like, I don't care if he gets all of it. I don't care if it goes in off his skate blade. I don't care if it goes in off the edge of his nose. Like, you just take it any way you can get it
right
at this point. And the funny part was, I thought Forsberg, like, right before it, maybe had a better chance, like a better look at it. He had it right on the doorstep, and Rittich was able to slide over and make the save there. Forsberg with good wherewithal after that to take the puck behind the net, kind of circle it around, and get it back out in front to Granlund there. And we've talked about Forsberg not being productive offensively. Terry Crisp joined us earlier in the show and said that was one of Forsberg's best games he's played in a long time.
Yeah.
I would agree. I thought he was really good last night for the most part. When he had the puck on his stick, even away from it, though, just moving, being physical, he crushed a Calgary Flames player behind the net last night. And when he's engaged physically, I think that kind of takes his game to a different level. Even when he's not scoring, which is obviously – that's the main thing you look for from Philip Forsberg. That's what he's paid to do. But it's a good sign, I think, that he was engaged in other aspects of the game and really playing well, I thought, in other aspects of the game.
Yeah, and he still leads the team in goals. And kind of the point you mentioned earlier with, the Preds turning the corner, their play, there's still a little bit more to be desired in a couple of areas. But if you're starting to see more from him individually, you could probably attribute that to the coaching change and John Hines and kind of wanting to see more to his game other than the goal scoring. So maybe that has something to do with it as well. But, Terry Crisp also mentioned, the guys, also the top line guys that aren't playing well, there's no more excuses. Like, you got 20 games left.
Yeah.
They had the coaching change. That's kind of installed now. Ain't nothing to it but to do it at this point.
That's another win at home for the Predators. And there was a point this year where they were right at 500, I guess, from a technical standpoint at home. But when you factor in the overtime losses and the shootout losses, they had lost more games this year at home than they had won. They are starting to really dig their way out of it. They had the dud of a game against Carolina last week where nothing they tried really just seemed to go all that well, and they lost that game in regulation. But they're starting to collect points with a lot more regularity at home, and that was going to be a big point of emphasis in the second half of the season. They've actually been a pretty good road team all season long. And yesterday, Calgary comes into town. They've been the best road team in the NHL, especially since about mid-November. They've been really good at home. I think since November 23rd, Calgary's had 15 wins on the road, which is the most in the league. And I think the second best team on the road since then is the Colorado Avalanche, who are coming in tomorrow. So back-to-back really tough test at home for the Predators. But it was going to be important to get this home ice advantage back as they went down the stretch here, got a lot of home games in February, had a lot of home games coming up in March as well. That part and getting that aspect of their home dominance and home being able to collect points at home back in their game, I think, has been big for this group.
Yeah, I made the comment on Inside Sports Sunday on WSMV, our little 30-minute show on Sunday night. I said there's a difference in being one of the toughest places to play in the NHL at Bridgestone and one of the best environments in the NHL, and it certainly is one of the best environments. Is
no
not
question.
One of the toughest places to play lately. It kind of starts from the playoff runs the last 2 years and kind of the start to the regular season. The on ice performance can help that environment make it one of the toughest places to play, because as we know, the Preds fans can be a little ruthless and make it tough on opposing teams.
Yeah, now they're 16-12-4 on the year at home. So you think about the success they've had at home recently. That's right at 16 wins, both sides of it, any way you cut it. So that just kind of tells you where they were before they got on this roll at home a few weeks ago and started to collect these wins, because it was a big point of conversation at home earlier in the season that they weren't able to get those wins with regularity at home. And like you said, Justin, that's been something that's kind of creeped into their game since, I want to say, the playoffs against Winnipeg, but really as they went down the second half of the stretch last year and into the playoffs against Dallas, they've struggled at home since then, no question about it.
Yeah, just don't schedule Saturday home games here at Bridgestone Arena. So why is it on Saturday that they always struggle? Is it? I just don't get it. It's every – I mean, they've done a little bit better, but it's just like Saturday, Bridgestone Arena is the place to be in
it
Nashville.
It used to be, yeah.
It still
used to
is.
Be like
it's
a, well, not
tough
a,
to win.
It used to be almost impossible for other teams coming there and win.
Yeah,
and lately this year it hasn't been. Now they did win last Saturday, so they'll go for two in a row tomorrow. And then you think back to the weekend before, they won in Saturday in St. Louis and on Sunday at home. So weekends starting to get a little bit better for this group on home ice, which is very important. Got a text in on the text line. It says, wasn't it odd that David Rittich, the Flames goaltender, wasn't leaning against the post when the tying goal was scored, considering the puck was coming from behind the net? That was kind of odd. Forsberg did have the puck behind the net. And Rittich was kind of just sitting there in the post. I mean, he was his pad was there on the post, but it's almost like he came completely off of it when Forsberg sent the puck to the middle. And it's not like Granlund was like directly in the middle. He was still like right by the post.
Right.
And Rittich came completely off the post there and gave Granlund a wide open net, which obviously if you're the Predators, thanks. I mean, that helps.
Right.
But I did think that was odd. So good job there by the texter to point that out. But
I mean, that's what he's taught, right? Put that pad on
the post, and especially when you've got a guy behind the net, you want to protect against that wraparound that you might have. And look, with that little time on the clock, you don't know if Forsberg's going to pass it at that moment or if he's just going to try to take it himself and jam it in on the wraparound. So obviously he made the right play there, and just watching the reaction was hilarious. I mean, there's like a slow-motion video out there of after Granlund scores the goal, and there's Johansson jumping up and down. I think he got mugged from behind by Ryan Ellis. It was just, you know, it was a nice sense of energy of, we haven't seen that a whole lot from the Preds this year. Some life to them, some jump to them, some energy to them. And as you said, Justin, we were waiting outside the locker room to go in and talk to the players after the game, and Ryan Johansson just comes busting through the door, kicks it wide open, and it's like, how's that for a headline? Like,
yeah.
It's just funny stuff like that.
He has fun with the media.
He does have fun with the media. Needs to play a little bit better on the ice this year, but has fun with the media.
Yeah.
No question.
Are y'all good relationship wise? I know you're not afraid to call him out.
No, we're fine.
Good.
We're all good.
He knows it too.
Yeah, everybody knows it. Let's go to Josh real quick, who wants to call in on the Preds and weigh in. Josh, thanks for calling in to ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, guys. Last night, man, that was the craziest, wildest game I have ever seen in my hockey watching life. I mean, if you don't believe in the hockey gods shining down on us after last night, then I don't know what to tell you. I mean, it was just insane. We weren't supposed to win that game last night. If you look at Calgary's record, you know, their road record as of late, and then also just against us as of late. I mean, they just, for some reason, they just, you know, always beat us, and they're just been great on the road. But aside from the last goal going to overtime and then Granlund winning it in overtime, you watch the entire game. I mean, it was bizarre stuff after bizarre stuff, just weird. I don't know if somebody was using the force in the crowd, but
it was Star Wars night.
Yeah, I mean, it was. I couldn't explain it. I'm texting my friends that weren't watching the game. I'm using all caps, all exclamation points. Dude, watch the game. Tune into the game. This is insane. This is the craziest game I've ever seen. And then I had no idea what was going to happen at the end of the game. It really blew my mind. And right now, if you're a Predators fan, you should be so excited for the Predators. I mean, it seems like they're turning a page and they're a team of destiny right now. Going to the playoffs, I mean, you should be pumped up because we're in it right now. Like, let it set in. We're doing it. We're in a playoff spot. And I'm just really, really excited. I appreciate your call. And also, real quick, is there any way that I can get a hard copy of that game? Do you guys know? Because I really want to watch it again.
We'll check in on that for you, Josh. Absolutely. Thanks for the call, man. He's right.
He wants that in his veins.
I think most Predators fans do. I mean, it is funny. I think, to his point, I want to say Calgary was like 8-1 in their last 9 trips to Bridgestone Arena before the Preds won that game last night. So just kind of one of those weird things that takes place in the NHL. When we come back, can that win against the Flames be a type of win that defines this regular season for the Nashville Predators? We'll get into that next. If you've got thoughts on the Preds, send them in, 615-737-1025. We'll take your calls and your text messages. This is Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Justin Beasley here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. That was Predators captain Roman Josi after the game last night. A huge win for the Predators against the Calgary Flames. Josi doing his best there to acknowledge the awesomeness that was the win last night for the Predators, while also saying, look, we've tried to do a really good job as of late of kind of flushing what happens in the game before and not letting it affect the performance in the next game. And thinking back to a couple weeks ago against Carolina, John Hines kind of brought that up. He was talking about, you know, I think they played Saturday in St. Louis, Sunday here in Nashville, had the day off on Monday. And he said something to the effect of, you know, I didn't have a very good day off because I was worried about how they were going to handle the success of beating St. Louis back-to-back and coming out and how that would affect their play against Carolina. They did not play well against Carolina. It wasn't for lack of effort, but the execution just was not there, not even really close to there. I wondered, can the Predators learn from that situation? And now that you've gotten a big win against Calgary, can that be the type of win that starts to get you moving in the right direction on a consistent basis? So I'm not saying you just totally forget about it, because I think it's good to remember games like that, that you come back and you battle back and you win and you're able to do it in dramatic fashion. But I do think, I mean, the Predators have the day off today. They're not going to practice today. They got a lot of games coming up in a very short amount of time. You want to make sure you have the energy and the rest that you need to play in those games and play well in those games. I do wonder if they learned their lesson from last week in that Carolina game, that, as John Hines calls it, you can't get lost in your success.
Yeah, and he mentioned it, you know, with the new group and new personalities, you can kind of sense maybe when that's going to happen, but it's just you learn from history, and that's what we do in life. And from a standpoint of, they just have to go into this game knowing that you got to do something different. You got to find your energy. You got to find your juice from a different source than you did that first time. Because, I mean, let's be honest, sweeping the champs in St. Louis can take a lot out of you, even with a day off. It's kind of a quick turnaround. They have to find something to do different, and just not, because as we mentioned earlier in the show, in the NHL, you can't take a night off and expect to win. It's just too tough in this league, especially against Colorado, who you mentioned is the second best road team in the NHL. You taking that night off against Colorado, you almost guaranteed a loss.
Absolutely. And John Hines talked a little bit last night after the game about that. Can this win propel this team as they move forward? And in a way, I think John Hines thinks it can, but he doesn't want the team to get caught up in that. Here's what he had to say last night after the game.
You know, if you're in a situation like this again, or, you know, again, we had to come from behind to be able to tie the game in the third period, later in the third period, and then find a way to have to tie it again. Twice we had to come from behind. So I think when you get in those situations again, it certainly can have a positive effect, and those reinforce a lot of the things we're talking about. But to answer your question, I talked to the team, and I was going to talk to the team either way, whether we won or lost this game after. They're going to have a day off tomorrow, because I think energy is going to be important for Saturday. But it was about, again, not getting too high or too low, that enjoy it tonight and let's take the day tomorrow, but make sure when we come back here on Saturday that we're not lost in this game either, because this win is not going to help us beat Colorado. What's going to help us in Colorado is now our preparation for Colorado. Winning the type of game that we won tonight, if we get in these situations in games in the future, I think that's where you really benefit from it.
So I think John Hines looks at the game last night in terms of, look, you know, if we find ourselves in a situation down the stretch here where we're in a tough game, a hard-fought game against a playoff opponent that we're battling it out with, and we're down late in the third period, we know that we have the ability to come back, tie the game, maybe even win the game if everything breaks right. But I think really other than that, what John Hines is saying, look, it's a great win. It's a monumental win in terms of the swing of emotion that you feel from going down a goal with 40 seconds left to ultimately winning in overtime. But other than that, you really just got to move on. And I think that's what John Hines has been trying to preach to this group ever since he got here. Whether you lose and it's really bad, you flush it. If you win and things are really high emotionally, you still have to flush it and not get lost, as he said, in the game before.
And energy is the big thing, too. Whether they lost or won, they were going to have the day off, and that's big. And maybe that's learning from the last time. I think they had the day off before Carolina, too. But just knowing, you know, you got to have a hand on your team and what the energy is like and kind of the trajectory that they're going. And that's kind of the Titans thing that they did, you know, kind of stand in the middle of the river, as they said, from Mike Vrabel. They didn't get too high on the highs. They definitely didn't get too lows on the losses. They started out 2-4. You got to find that happy medium, especially when something hasn't been working at the beginning of the season. And but again, he's going to say that. Roman Yost is going to say that. You expect your spokespersons to say that. Inside that locker room, like you said, Robbie, that's one you want to remember. So I mean, don't take it into the game, but take it everywhere else with you. I mean, it's good. It's confidence boost. Get that swagger back.
And we had this conversation a couple weeks ago on the show, and you brought up the Titans there and just kind of how they were able to overcome things mentally this season, starting 2-4, switching quarterbacks, kind of a mentality shift, I think, of when things started to go wrong for the Titans early on in the season, they snowballed. When that happened in the second half of the season, they just didn't blink, and they responded to it, and they were able to win. It feels like the Predators are getting back to that point as well. And we had this conversation, like, when's the last time the Titans were really good and the Predators were really good at the same time? Like, the Predators have struggled for the majority of this season. Titans obviously made it to the AFC Championship game. I think this city is pretty hungry for both of its professional sports teams, and now a third being added with Nashville SC, to really all be good and rolling at the same time, because we've never really had that throughout the history of the entire city. Like, when the Titans first came here, they were very good. The Preds were an expansion team. Like, it was, they've always just kind of been on different paths, never together at the same time, one way or the other.
Small sample size, too. They've only been playing 20-some-odd years. But like you said, Atlanta made it to the MLS Championship their second year, so Nashville SC should as well now, right?
that's the way it works. That's going to be the bar, right? Let's go to Danny, who's called in wanting to weigh in on the Preds. Danny, go ahead. Thanks for calling in to ESPN 102.5 The Game.
That was a great game last night. Did you guys see it?
Oh, yeah. It was awesome.
What was the – how? Where are the Preds now in the playoff picture?
They right now are the second wild card team. So they're 1 point behind the Flames after that win last night. Flames are in the first wild card spot.
So will they play the Flames again?
They are done with the Flames in the regular season, so no more games against the Flames in the regular season. But they do have a ton of important games coming up. Colorado tomorrow, they got Dallas later this week, Minnesota. So a lot of teams that they're right there with in terms of the standings are coming up for the Preds. So it was a good step for them last night, Danny, that they were able to win that game against a team that's right there with them, and we'll see if they could continue to do that down the stretch here.
Do you think the soccer team will ever play in town?
Yeah, they're playing tomorrow.
Stadium, they're what?
Yeah, they're playing tomorrow. So they'll be.
Oh, I thought they couldn't play until they got a stadium built.
Nope, they're playing tomorrow at Nissan Stadium. So they'll be there tomorrow. Hey, Danny, thanks for the call.
Be their first professional game in MLS.
First professional game. It's going to be such a cool day tomorrow. I'm looking forward to that so much. You got the Preds game starting at 6 o'clock.
Game.
Yeah, I know. I wish I could go to both. I really do. Maybe I can sneak out of there. Like, the Preds will wrap up a win early, and I could just sneak out.
Yeah.
But that's going to be tough.
Get a 40-minute intermission.
Yeah, just roll on over. No, but in all seriousness, it's going to be a great day for our city tomorrow with the Preds game. Got Nashville SC. We had Gary Smith, head coach of Nashville SC, on with us earlier. And we're just talking about, you know, kind of the journey that team has been on from USL now to MLS and even back. I mean, most people may not even know this, but even before the USL team, they had some soccer going on, NPSL soccer going on around here as well. And a lot of the fan base that we've talked about with the Roadies and all the different groups, support groups, they've been around since the beginning, since the very beginning, since even before the USL stuff. So
they've really been ready.
Oh, they've been ready for a long time. So tomorrow is the culmination, I think, of a lot of people's hard work to finally get MLS here in Nashville and to get rolling that way. So if you're a sports fan tomorrow in Nashville, you're in pretty good shape in terms of you've got Preds going on, you've got Nashville SC. I know a lot of people are upset they kind of have to pick one or the other. But
and Tom Brady rumors.
And Tom Brady rumors, of course.
So you got the trifecta, basically.
That's right.
Doesn't get any better.
Let's go to Kenny real quickly, who wants to call in on the Preds. Kenny, thanks for calling in to ESPN 102.5 The Game. You go ahead.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Doing great. How are you?
Good. A quick story about last night's game. So me and the wife went. Well, the Flames scored, 42 seconds left. I said, what do you think? We'll head out of here. I got to the glass door, and I hear the roar, and I run back in, and we were able to find seats on the lower level, better seats, P.S., and we watched the game-winning goal. Granlund shoots it right in front of me. So how's that for a great night? Go Preds.
Things worked out really well for you there, Kenny. Thanks
oh,
for your call.
Really did, man.
Appreciate it, man. When we come back, we'll wrap up the show for the day here on Morning Drive. Get into a little bit more Preds talk. Looking ahead to their game tomorrow night against the Colorado Avalanche, a very good, very talented Colorado team coming into town. And also the beginning of a new era, like we were just talking about with Nashville SC. That's next. You're listening to Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Justin Beasley here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Final segment of the day here on Morning Drive on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Justin Beasley from News 4. And Munson is just, he's on it today. With the hits, he's doing such a great job back there. He must be excited for the weekend,
man. It's Friday, man. Yeah. I gotta get myself pumped up, man. When you wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning to have to come up here, you need some music to like get you up and
oh,
going.
There's no question about
for the
that.
Rest of the day.
I've been really impressed with how Beasley has been able to handle the early morning schedule. He's still awake. He still looks better than both of us.
His shirt's
in terms
still
of the way
up,
he's dressing,
button like, up real nice.
Looks like he may have ironed his shirt this morning before he got in.
Looks
like
he
just impressive.
It looked like he irons them during the break.
Yeah.
There's like
awesome.
There's like no wrinkle in that shirt at all. He's been here for 4 hours.
That's truly impressive.
Thank God it's Friday.
You don't got the meat sweats like we do?
I don't do undershirts, so maybe I do. We'll see.
I don't either. Not with button-ups, I don't.
That's a dangerous game on TV. I mean, you gotta protect against the pit stains, right?
Yeah, but you usually have a jacket on so you can guard against it. But I don't know. Just the undershirt makes you feel heavy. I don't like layers. Not a big layer guy.
And I'm going to give people a little insight into the TV world here, too. Especially when you're sitting at a desk when you're on TV. So nine times out of ten, you're not wearing pants. You're probably wearing shorts at that point.
And I'm also standing on a stool.
Yeah.
So I can be 6 feet with my co-anchors.
There's a little backdrop into the TV world that you never knew that you needed.
You didn't have to tell us
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I don't know if you had to bring up the stool.
I thought you were like 6'5".
Yeah, right?
TV.
I mean, on first glance, you would think, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So you couldn't have said anything. You could have just left that a secret.
Yeah, the stool, we probably didn't even know.
Some stuff you just have to own it. You have to step into it.
I respect that about you, Justin.
Yeah, if I was offended by short jokes, this would be a tough life. I stopped that since day one.
I got a lot of skinny jokes back in the day. I was really skinny. Now, not so much.
He said, now, not so much.
May go to the gym after the show.
Me too. I might need to do that too. Justin, big game tomorrow for the Preds against the Colorado Avalanche. Colorado playing tonight in Carolina. So they'll be on the second half of a back-to-back. And the last time they saw Colorado, it did not go well. 9-4 final in Colorado at the Pepsi Center. Preds were up 3-2 in that game, believe it or not. Got down 8-3 after the second period.
Yep.
Lost the game 9-4. I would think, just from knowing the Predators and having played sports in any point in my life, if somebody ever beat me that bad and embarrassed me the way that the Avalanche, you put that in the back of your mind and you make sure that you do everything you can to come out the next game and try to return the favor. I would be pretty surprised if the Predators aren't revved up and ready to go tomorrow night for that reason alone, much less where they are in the standings, much less the role they've been on as of late. That's reason enough to me when you think back to what happened earlier this season for you to come out tomorrow night with an intensity level that they haven't even shown yet this year. That's got to happen, I think, tomorrow for the Preds.
Yeah, tomorrow should be personal. And you look at the Predators, they're certainly playing their best hockey they have all season outside of the very beginning. They are a different team than the one that saw this Colorado team in late November. Yeah, this one's got to be personal. You gotta check this one off. You gotta say, hey, next time we see them, you know, maybe we want to run up the score on them, because 8-3, it got pretty bad at the Pepsi Center, like you mentioned, and they there's some history there with Colorado. I like Colorado coming to town playing Nashville. The way they play, it's very entertaining in my opinion.
It is, and look, let's be honest, it's. If you're a Predators fan, you probably dread seeing this guy come in. But Nathan MacKinnon, he is so much fun to watch. I would put him in the top five in the entire league in terms of the players I enjoy watching play the most. I mean, Connor McDavid is probably at the top of that list. I mean, Roman Josi's probably on that list, too, with the way he plays defense. But Nathan MacKinnon is a special, special guy. We saw that firsthand a couple years ago when they played the Predators in the first round, and he's gotten even better since then.
Yeah, I mean, I don't watch as much hockey as you do, but that is one guy that comes to mind is like, wow, like he just jumps off the page and you know what you're getting, and just outstanding player, especially he's had some success inside Bridgestone Arena. And like you mentioned, as a Preds fan, you don't like him, but you got to respect his game. You got to like that, hey, you know, what he's bringing in here for the Preds to counteract is pretty fun to go up against. It's a challenge as opposed to, I don't know, like you mentioned, an AHL team like the Blue Jackets.
Yeah, which ended up being more of a challenge than it probably should have been at that point to get an 8-round shootout. But I digress. I mean, that's just part of it sometimes. You got to deal with it. I want to switch gears real quick before we wrap up here on the show. Nashville SC getting started tomorrow night officially in the MLS. Over 50,000 tickets have been sold. We had Gary Smith on, coach of Nashville SC, early on in the program. The excitement, I think, is palpable. You can feel it around the city for a new era of Nashville sports to begin. Really looking forward to see, number one, what that environment is like tomorrow night at Nissan Stadium for the game. But number two, what does Nashville SC look like on the field in a real game, a regular season game in the MLS? Going to be an exciting day for our city tomorrow to get a third pro sports franchise launched at the major league level here.
Yeah, we're blessed to work in a market that has three professional sports teams. I don't like that it's leap day tomorrow, though. It's like you can't look back on this day and blah, 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 because it's only
every 4 years, baby.
Only every 4 years, but it should be amazing. 50,000 tickets. You got a good team coming in here in Atlanta. And, you know, I know they want their new stadium. I know they want it as soon as possible. Nissan Stadium will make for a darn cool atmosphere downtown, along with the Preds game. Nashville's going to be booming tomorrow, as it should be.
It is going to be booming, and maybe the start of a rivalry tomorrow. Hopefully that's the case. And as we mentioned, it's hard to do that when you're not playing each other all the time, like they won't be between Nashville SC and Atlanta United. But just geographically speaking, I think there are going to be a lot of Atlanta fans here tomorrow making the trip from Atlanta up to Nashville, which is going to create, I think, a really cool environment at the stadium. And maybe this is the start of kind of that hostile environment, that hostile rivalry that takes place between two southern cities in the MLS, which the MLS has got to be rooting for. I mean, that's exactly what they need when they're trying to introduce soccer to new markets like Atlanta and like Nashville.
I like Cincinnati as the second place, too.
I do, too.
One of my web producers at Channel 4 said, you know, Cincinnati. And if I'm not mistaken, some of my buddies, Nashville SC buddies that are, I guess you'd call them roadies, had a lot of trash talk for Cincinnati when they were in the minor leagues and just kind of, you lost to so-and-so. And just there's a ton of jarring on there, just like there are with NFL and NBA and NHL fans. And the roadies, like you mentioned, have been ready for a long time. I'm just ready to see what they got in store for tomorrow because, I mean, as I mentioned, Gary Smith, how long have you thought of this day? The roadies been thinking about it longer. I mean, they could not wait for professional soccer to get to Nashville, which was kind of a long shot a couple of years ago, but they squeezed in, and here they are, and they got some momentum under them. Now they just need to get a big win tomorrow.
And you mentioned Gary Smith. It will be tough. I mean, it's going to be a challenge for Nashville SC to play against Atlanta United and take them on. We had Gary Smith, head coach from Nashville SC, on earlier in the show, and we've tweeted out the link to that interview at 1025_MD on Twitter if you would like to go back and hear that interview if you missed it. One of the things I took away from it, Justin, was just the way this team wants to play. He wants to make it an entertaining product out there, but also realizes the urgency and the need to be competitive and to be competitive early on. And we talked about the expectations for expansion franchises earlier in the show. Maybe unfair at times when you factor in Vegas and the NHL going to the Stanley Cup final in their first year. Atlanta United, who they're playing tomorrow, winning the MLS Cup in their second year. I don't know if that necessarily needs to be the bar for Nashville SC, but I do think they all realize the need to be competitive early on and to be able to allow yourself to hang around in the race as the season goes on for the playoffs. That's a big part of why I think they brought in Walker Zimmerman, a star player that can help them go do that. So I'm interested to see what style and how they come out and play tomorrow, what identity Nashville SC wants to have as they move forward here.
Yeah, and in soccer, let's be honest, the score isn't, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you're not going to have like 8-5 games. Yeah. It's not going to happen.
So you can kind of hide that you are competitive while also being entertaining on the offensive side. Walker Zimmerman, big fan of his. He told a story at one of the events downtown at Nashville Underground that, you know, he heard he was getting traded, blah, blah, blah. And he's, oh, you know, blah, blah. And he's like, Nashville. He's like, Nashville, let's go. Yeah. Like, Nashville's a hot spot to be. So you kind of get the sense from him and other guys probably speaking on their behalf that they probably liked that they landed in Nashville as opposed to some other cities, which we can't blame them. We love to be here, and we love what it's about. And just being a part of a startup franchise has to be a pretty cool experience from their side of things.
Absolutely. Real quickly, Justin, what do you want to see from the Preds tomorrow when they take the ice against Colorado?
I don't need to see a second period like I did last
Absolutely
night.
Absolutely not.
Which is can be difficult, and I think Colorado's going to score. You just can't get it in the eights. I think it's going to be a 4-4, 5-4 type game, and I'd like to see the Predators play. But again, you don't have to win every single game, but it's, as you mentioned, the kind of product that they have that is outside of the score. What do you want to see?
Well, I want to see – I mean, you're coming on the second half of back-to-back if you're Colorado. The Preds need to jump out on them early, really put pressure on them in the offensive zone. They've won games lately. They've gotten points lately. But they spend a lot of time in the D zone. I would like to see them spend a lot more time in the offensive zone tomorrow. So that's probably the number one thing I'm looking for from the Nashville Predators.
It's a recipe for a win.
That is. Well, that's going to do it for us today here on Morning Drive. Justin Beasley from News
4.
Absolutely. Thanks for coming in with me today. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. It's a pleasure, man. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. You look better than all of us. You do not have a face for radio. That's a very good thing. That's going to do it for us today here on Morning Drive. Big weekend coming up in Nashville sports. We'll be back on Monday to talk about that. Darren Donick and Chase coming up next. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.